Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast with Nicolene Peck. Improving your life, uniting your family, changing the world.
Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast. I'm Nicolene Peck and I'm joined here with my daughter, Paige Baumert. Hi, Paige.
Hello.
Paige, today we are going to go deep on this podcast. We are going to talk about improving your discernment skills. And then I think we'll do another podcast later on about teaching your children how to improve their discernment skills. There are so many people that ask us questions that relate to discernment, and having discernment is something that, quite frankly, is becoming rare in our society, wouldn't you say? People are not knowing, well, what is the right way? What's right and wrong? What's good and bad? What's true and false? How do I even know? How do I know if I'm on the right track? We're going to be talking about that today, give you a framework that you can use to try to get yourself discerning a little bit better so that you can take steps forward with a little bit more confidence. But before we do that, as is tradition here on the Teaching Self-Government Podcast, we are going to talk about a fun family activity. Paige, what type of a fun family activity do you have for us today?
Oh, it's a good one. At least, I mean, if you live on this side of the hemisphere at this time of year. So
that's true. This is might be more of a northern hemisphere thing. But just remember, we could be listening to this anytime during the year. So
that's
this
true.
Is just one of those things to put on your list as a fun idea for the family.
Yes. So something that we grew up doing every single year was planting a garden. And there were times, you know, we've got all sorts of places at your house, Mom, where we would plant all of the vegetables. But I do remember a few years where you either bought us like our own big pot that we could put our own flowers in, or we had our own little section of a flower or of a garden bed. And you said, okay, plant whatever vegetables you want or whatever flowers you want. And so we got to plan and plant gardens. And it was so fun. We would go with you to Home Depot, which is usually where we got all of our yard stuff. And we would pick out our flowers and our seeds and our dirt and our shovels and our gloves and all the things. And we'd go dig in the dirt and we'd plant our things. And my favorite part was always watering them. I was the water person. Anyway, yeah. But planting the garden, it's so fun. In fact, I just moved to our first home and we don't even have all of our boxes and furniture in and set up yet, but I have already found tulips because of course they were on sale, and I have planted them in my little flower bed right out in my front yard. I'm like, I have to have my house look cute, at least on the outside.
Even though the inside is not quite ready yet. No, it's true. Congratulations on your new house, because that's a really fun thing when you get into home ownership and it's your first home. So that's super exciting, super fun to be doing and to beautify it and to plant. There's just something magical about planting something and watching it grow. And children love that. And they learn so many things from planning a garden, planting a garden, picking out things. They learn what works, what doesn't work. They learn, oh, if I'm going to grow that, it might need more space or something like that. And you just let them figure it out. You let them have their failures. Sometimes they think they're growing plants when in reality they have weeds that are growing up, and they're like, look at
weeds are just plants in places where you don't want them.
Yeah, exactly. But sometimes they make it so your other plants don't come up, you know. Anyway, but they don't know that they're weeds yet until suddenly they go, wait, that's not what a watermelon really looks like when it's bigger. Oh, wait a second, maybe I just grew a weed, you know. And but they learn so many things with gardening, and it's exciting, especially if they get to harvest something, if they get to pick their own carrot or pick their own beans. That's very exciting for somebody. So anyway, there's a fun idea for you. Plan and plant a garden, whether it's in a grow box or whether it's in an area in the ground in your yard that is all kinds of fun.
Agreed.
So Paige, today we're going to be talking about discernment and how to better plan and differentiate between what you should do and shouldn't do, and how to move forward with things with your children. Maybe you need to discern how to help them. Maybe you need to discern how to help yourself. And that is a skill. Sometimes it comes easier to some people than others. And hopefully with what we're sharing with you today, you will improve in your discernment. We are going to be looking through the lens of self-government, as we always do here on the Teaching Self-Government podcast. So let's start by just getting a foundational understanding of what self-government is.
Of course. So self-government, as we define it, is being able to determine the cause and effect of any given situation and possessing a knowledge of your own behaviors so that you can control them.
Yeah, and that's easier said than done, isn't it?
Hardcore. Yeah.
Yeah. When a person is self-governing, they are giving themselves instructions, giving themselves no answers, correcting themselves, planning for themselves, acknowledging when they haven't done things correctly. This is a very mature thing to do. And it is a principle, so it's broadly applicable, which means everyone should get the opportunity to learn that principle of self-government. And actually, it creates freedom. So there is a difference between liberty and license, okay? Mm-hmm. So liberty or freedom comes when you are totally fluent about something, when you understand what's right and wrong, good and bad, true and false, and then you choose right, good, and true. Then you have liberty. Then you have freedom because you have an understanding and make a good decision. Now, license is completely different. License doesn't necessarily indicate any knowledge or discerning whatsoever. When a person has license, they can just do whatever they want. But that's not necessarily liberty. I think a lot of people confuse those things and they think that doing whatever you want is liberty, when in reality, it's just license. Mm-hmm. And when you have just license, you oftentimes will get into a place of self-abandonment where you don't take care of yourself. You let yourself go. You let yourself get away with things because you're just in the mode of, you know, indulging yourself, feeding the senses. And as you focus on feeding your senses, you end up losing your liberty. So liberty and license most often are in conflict with each other. When a person is self-governing, they're planning for their success. They are discerning, actively discerning. And so this is what leads to true liberty or freedom. So let's talk about discernment. So I'm going to refer to Webster's 1828 dictionary here for a definition on discernment. It is. It's one of our favorite books for looking up definitions because the definitions are not corrupted.
I know.
So when a person discerns, they're able to separate things, okay? So they're able to see what the differences are between certain things, so such as what is right, wrong, good, bad, true, false. So here's the actual definition. It says, the act of discerning, also the power of faculty of the mind, by which it distinguishes one thing from another, such as truth from falsehood, virtue from vice, acuteness of judgment, power of perceiving differences in things or ideas and their relations and tendencies. So this would get into definitely analyzing yourself. This is why being able to discern is so important for self-government. You can't even fully determine what is wrong with you unless you have the ability to discern, to figure out, to analyze for yourself. It says in here, and I love Noah because he always adds these little gems in his definitions. Here's the little gem from Noah Webster about discernment. He says, the errors of youth often proceed from the want of discernment. Dun, dun, dun. So what does that mean? That means that many people in their youth are lacking in judgment, lacking in discernment, lacking in the desire or ability to properly analyze and plan for a different outcome. They're not understanding cause and effect, and so they oftentimes make errors. So Shocker. What do children need? Who do children need then? They need parents to help them discern. So this is why we're starting with the parents today, right? So Paige and I were talking about what to talk about. And Paige said, I think we should talk about discernment, but I think we need to first focus on the discernment of the parents because that's vital. It's foundational. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. We definitely need to help the parents understand what discernment is for themselves first, for their own self-government.
Well, because, I mean, I was thinking about this because I get so many parents who are like, okay, well, what do I do here? What do I do here? I'm like, okay, are they really thinking about this? Do they have the ability and the know-how to actually have discernment in a situation like this? Because I mean, as a certified mentor, you know, I'm very happy to answer questions and do a little bit of discernment on their part. But, you know, I don't always know the whole situation. In fact, most time I don't. And so they just give me a few key factors. And, you know, I try and do my best from there. But them as parents, they know the situation very, very best. And so for me, it's like, okay, well, we need to empower parents to have discernment on their own, which means we have to give them skills. And then we have to say, okay, here's how to think about it and to implement the skills. And I think that's so crucial because so many people don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you're touching on one key piece of our framework, a very foundational piece, and that is understanding your role. So who are you in this problem that needs to be solved? Are you the one that needs to seek direction for the answer? And can you go to other people for help? Absolutely. Is it okay to ask advice from someone that you trust? Absolutely. That type of thing is okay. However, ideally, you are seeking inspiration for your own discernment for yourself, and you're coming to those answers on your own.
Yeah. So that's been something that's been really interesting to see as I've been talking with parents.
Yeah. And it's one of the hardest things to teach. So when I do a training, like the 3-day trainings, the parenting mastery trainings, which I highly recommend, they're definitely some of the best trainings that we do. Well, if you want to learn it all the quickest, then come to one of the parenting mastery trainings. Yeah. We only do a few of them a year. Find yourself at one of those. Those 3-day events are truly life-changing, transformational. But anyway, when I'm there, we do a lot of role play practice in front of the group. We do a lot of examples in front of the group. And some of the reasons for that are so that people can see what it would look like when somebody is not doing something correctly, or when they are doing something correctly, so that they can actually discern, wait a minute, what's the difference here? Is that person really having a calm face? Because they might not be. Yeah. What am I seeing here that's going on? And I can help people see what is not seen. And that's really one of the biggest things about discerning is, are you seeing what might not be seen?
Yeah, it's getting behind the scenes on behaviors and thought processes.
Yes. Now, if we go to the book of Corinthians in the Bible, it says, well, we look not at the things that are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are spiritual. And the whole idea is, okay, well, we can look at what is seen, but we have to take time to look at what is not seen. What's the underlying? What's the spiritual?
And a lot of times those have the larger impact.
Yeah, for sure. And so this brings us to something about discernment that we cannot, there's no other way to say this except for that discernment is a spiritual quality. It is. It's a spiritual thing. If you are able to discern, it is a spiritual thing. Now, can you discern colors like oh, that's yellow and that's blue? Yes. You can discern those things. But when we are talking about discernment, especially as it relates to what's the right choice, what does this person really need? What child do I need to give the majority of my attention to today? Mm-hmm. You know what I used to do for that? I would pray every morning and I would say, Dear Heavenly Father, I have multiple children here in this household. Who do I need to focus on most today? I would ask God for that because I had to really know the right choice. And I have to go to somebody who is all-knowing then. I'm not all-knowing. I can make my best guess. I could take a stab. Hopefully I do right. I can reason out a bunch of things and try to discern through reasoning. But at the end of the day, I still may always wonder if I made the right decision. But if I pray before I speak and I ask God to give me the words to say, then guess what? When I speak, I have no fear and I have no worries afterward. And if someone was offended, then I know, you know what? I spoke according to what I felt needed to come out at that time. In fact, the words were often given to me, so I have no regrets. That's the other thing about if you discern properly and you follow through on the right decision, you have no regrets. Even if sometimes things don't work out in the way you wished they would, you still know, but I think this is the way it's supposed to be. Because I felt I was supposed to do this. And it gives you a sense of surety and confidence. And yeah. I think that's what a lot of people want.
No, it's true. You have such a better progression of actions and thoughts when you do that. In fact, just today, I know this isn't about behaviors per se, but I have a tendency in my eating habits to go straight to sugar. But as I was heading for something in the fridge that had sugar in it, I got the feeling like, you know, you just watched a video on how if you eat, you know, your whole eating habits depend on what you eat very, very first in the morning. And so I said, you know, it took me a second. I'm like, oh, I really want that. But then I'm like, you know, I probably should have a, you know, a protein shake or something instead. And so I even did like the comical cartoon, like back and forth. I'm like, okay, fine.
Cake, yogurt, cake, yogurt. Yeah, exactly.
And so I did. And, you know, I can say that today I felt amazing. And it was really nice to recognize that moment and not just overrule it with what I was feeling in the moment.
Well, you know, you made the right decision. In fact, so you saw a video and the video told you something, but it was that moment of when you looked at it and then you recalled the video. That was the moment of discernment. That was the moment where you got an answer for you or a direction for you that was specific for you in that moment. That's powerful. And that is not something that is just your head or just your body or just your heart. It is usually something that your spirit and your mind are joined together on. You feel this is right. Sometimes it's even just this thought that passes through and you just know that came from nowhere or it came from, you know, a source that is pointing you towards something good. Here's another thing about that discernment that you have that happened with the food choice this morning for you. Which there's nothing small about that. We have to discern our food choices all day long
all
when
day,
we are self-governing our eating. Okay. And you probably did better than me today. I'm just going to say that anyway, because I definitely started on the day a little bit wrong today. Anyway, but I will say that each little decision that we make in our life, we can use that discernment and it can help us. And it is something that usually aligns with something we know is right anyway. So that's the other thing. So when you got this feeling like, don't eat that sugar, that's not going to be the best way for you to start your day. And then you remembered the video. This also aligns with other health principles that you know to be true.
Yeah.
You know that they're right. So it's not like it's out of the blue, something completely opposite or upside down from anything that you've known before. It's building on something you already know, or it's reminding you of something that you already know. So this brings us to how we actually get to a place of being able to discern. So we've got to start at ground zero. Every person is born with light. I call it the light of Christ. You can just call it light in general. But every being that comes into this world has this innate ability to understand, oh, that's not right. You know, that's wrong. So right and wrong, good and bad. Those are things that come from that light that a person is born with. And so we want to constantly surround ourselves with light because If you have the ability to discern light, but you don't surround yourself with it enough, you won't recognize it.
That's true.
So you have to constantly be looking for things that are good and true and filling yourself with those things, listening to inspiring things. Maybe it's an inspiring podcast. Maybe
you have to create a sensitivity to it.
You do. You have to actually feed the understanding of what is right and wrong, good and bad. This would go back to reading inspired books. Maybe it's reading your scriptures or reading life stories from other people where they've learned powerful lessons, learning from your parents. Hopefully, I know not every parent is morally, you know, grounded,
but learn from your mentoring source.
Yeah. Learn from a person that you know is leading you in a good direction because they are full of light and they are going in a good direction, right? So that's good too. So you have to keep surrounding yourself with light in order to continue to have that ability to discern through the light that you are actually born with. So keep yourself surrounded. That's probably one of our number one things. So number one in our framework is understand who you are, your role in the decision-making. Well, when it comes to your eating habits, who has to make those decisions? You. It's your body. It's you. Okay. Mm-hmm. When it comes to what does my child need? There's another stewardship that you have there. Yeah. Now it's not just over you, but it's also over your child. Do you have a stewardship to direct them and guide them? Yes. So you can also seek that discernment and that inspiration for them. So when something is from a source of light, and this is very important to understand, when something is from a source of light, it usually makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's usually not too mystical or weird. It usually builds upon something you already know. And I think your example about food this morning is perfect about that because you already knew some things and it built upon things that you already knew.
Well, and that's why knowledge is so important. You know, whether it's knowledge about good things and also knowledge about bad things, and understanding where truths and correct principles lie. And that's why it's so important to, you know, be aware of right and wrong, good and bad, true and false.
Mm-hmm. And I take a lot of flack for that. I'm just going to say,
yeah.
I do. Let's talk about movies. Okay.
You take some flack even from us sometimes.
Yeah. Because I've always been the person like, oh no, we're not watching that. And then some other people in the family, well, how come? What's the big deal? I just watch it for entertainment. And I'm like, because I don't surround myself with stuff that is not going to lead me toward light. Why would I do that? Why would I surround myself with something that's darkness? Even if it is Marvel and everybody's watching it, or even if it is something that seems like it's very popular and, well, I mean, it's just kind of a show. No, if it does not match my principles, I'm certainly not going to watch it a second time. I might walk out of it the first time. At the very least, I'm going to now list after I watch it everything that was darkness in it so that I am very clear why it didn't feel right to me. And I know that, you know, I mean, even Dad has said to me before, come on, honey, do you have to do that every time? And it's not even for other people as much as it is for me. I like to say, okay, this is what I see. This is what I am discerning in this film. And I don't agree with it.
We just don't like it when you say it in the middle of the film.
Right. I try to hold back on that. Okay, if I can at all, if it's at all possible. And truly, we try to pick good things, right? Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, we pick something and it's like, ooh, this is different than we thought it would be.
Yeah.
And I don't think that this is really that light. I mean, it might not be straight on devil worship, but it's like flirting with it, or there's, you know, other things there. And I have to say that the trend of the media is going darker, darker, darker. And so the more that you immerse yourself in darkness, the more that you do not have a sensitivity to light.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a sensitivity to light, how are you going to know what is right, wrong, good, bad. Now, you've noticed I haven't mentioned true or false yet, and that is because I am reserving that. There is another source that actually teaches us what is true and what is false. But before we get to that, I just want to throw out a hard and fast, tried and true teaching self-government process that you can use to help you discern. And this process is a SODAS exercise. Mm-hmm. So in the TSG parenting course and in the book Parenting a House United, we talk about a problem-solving exercise. It helps develop the prefrontal cortex. It's called a SODAS exercise. And it talks about what our situations are, what our options are, what the disadvantages, the advantages, and the solution are. Those disadvantages and advantages definitely weigh into what is right and wrong, what is good and bad, and might even start coming into what is true and false as well. So this is a great way for you to just put everything out on paper so that you can zero in on what is right and good so that you can follow that. And then, of course, another thing that you want to add to your framework, if you are a praying person, pray. Pray and ask, is this right? Is this good? Pray and ask for that. And if you don't know how the Lord speaks to you, you're going to have to ask him how he speaks to you as well, because there are always counterfeit sources, dark sources that try to masquerade as light. And we have to be so careful of those sources in our time that we live, especially because there really are, I hate to just say this because it's going to sound weird, but there are demons in the world. There are devils. There are gods, false gods. There always have been. And they are back with a vengeance. So let's talk about what helps us discern true from false, Paige.
So something that you kind of mentioned to me a little bit earlier, because I was telling you, I'm like, ugh, you know, doing all this responsibility with teaching self-government, it's hard to keep track of. And something that you told me as well, you know, you have to make sure that you're keeping high priority in the good things. So make sure that you're reading your scriptures every day and that you, you know, get that in right at the very beginning of the day, because, you know, you have to fill your life with truth before you can combat the things that are false. So, and you know, for us, for my family, for your family, the scriptures have always been are, you know, kind of the center of that truth, because that's, you know, we're Christians and we believe that that book is very true as far as it's been translated correctly, you know? And so that truth is something that we hold very, very dear. And so when we ascribe to truths, then it's really easy to spot the falsehoods. And like, you know, like we said earlier, and what is light and what is true usually makes sense. And you know, it doesn't leave you feeling uneasy. It just kind of clicks with your spirit, because everyone does have a spirit. And, you know, I, as a Christian, fully believe that there is a Holy Spirit that is there to guide us and to help us discern things and to help us discover the truths and to help Heavenly Father give us what we need.
Oh, 100%. He is the Holy Spirit is the way that we get help from God. And things are impressed upon our hearts and on our minds. And we are given words to say and cautions and warnings. These things all come from a spiritual source, because how else can you describe that? You know, not that I'm going to try to, you know, make a case for the spirit right now, but if you think of it, there are these times where you call someone and you don't know why you called them, and then they really needed someone. Feeling. Yeah, they'll say, oh, it was just my gut. Really? So you eat certain things and then you have this weird indigestion.
Oh,
and then
sheesh, Mom.
No, it's, It's a spiritual thing, isn't it? It's called a prompting. You get a prompting. It's a spiritual prompting. It comes from the Holy Spirit, and it helps you know what to do. It gives you comfort. It gives you peace. It gives you direction. It also makes you feel a little bit bad sometimes, and you know you've got to change your ways. Mm-hmm. There's some of that that happens too, because it helps you know what is true and what is false. It is honest. It is an honest voice. It always tells you the truth. It doesn't tell you what you want to hear. And it doesn't tell you stuff just to serve you. In fact, usually most of the things will end up making your life a little bit harder. You have to do a little bit more.
It's because the natural man's way is the lazy way.
Yeah. But really, when we are guided and directed, we usually are serving somebody else. Usually the change that we're going to make is going to end up helping somebody else, which in turn helps us too, right? So staying close to the Holy Spirit is going to help you discern true from false. And boy, do we need that in this world. Mm-hmm. An understanding of right, wrong, good, bad, true, and false requires light and a witness, a spiritual witness, so that you know when something is true. That is powerful.
And understanding what that witness looks and feels like.
Yeah. So some people don't know. Sometimes it just hits you and you're like, that's true. It might even be, you know, you're in math class. That's true. You know, or
whatever. Well, sometimes, see, there are truths to be found everywhere. So
there are. And sometimes even in an academic subject, when something clicks, it could be the Holy Spirit helping you out. Mm-hmm. Now, also your mind can cognitively have things make sense. But when something strikes you as a truth, a principle to live by, it's usually going to be something that is more of a prompting mm-hmm. for you. Anyway, so you have to invite the Spirit into your life to stay close to you. Okay.
And
so
you do that by feasting on good words and wholesome things.
Yeah. So it comes back to surrounding yourself with light again, right? Mm-hmm. But another thing that you can do to make sure that you are listening to what those promptings are for you. And this is something that I do, is you ask questions and seek answers with faith. So I have what's called an inspiration journal. I've got it sitting right next to me here as we're talking. My inspiration journal is a notebook where I don't just write what happened that day or things that are coming up, but I also write questions that I have, and I'll write a thought or a question like, Lord, what would you have me do about this? Or I've been trying to sort out this problem. What is it that I need to understand so that I can sort out this problem? And I will write down my question to the Lord in that notebook. And then I go to my scriptures and I open the scriptures, and wherever my eye falls, I start reading there. And I just read until I know, until I get that confirmation, that witness that that is your answer. And then I write it down in the book. So I record it. I take it very seriously, very deliberately. And this is one of the things that I do to discern in the most difficult circumstances. So you might have a child who's getting very frustrated with maybe something in your parenting, maybe something with friends, whatever it is. And you say, okay, what is it that I am not seeing here? I am seeing the person is frustrated, but what am I not seeing? And then you go to God for those answers. But you go with this expectation of faith that you will be able to find the answers. So there's some other tips that we have There are some other tips that we have as far as our framework goes for you. And so we're just going to list some of those things, because truthfully, we could talk about this for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So one thing is, don't just follow people blindly. Okay. When we're talking about asking questions, seeking answers, when somebody throws something out to you, really kind of go, okay, is that true? Balance it, weigh it against other things that you have learned in the past that you know are true. Mm-hmm. Weigh it out. And by the way, a truth doesn't always make you feel like you're right. Sometimes the truth tells you you're wrong.
Which is so rude.
I know, but we like to all think we know everything and that we're just right all the time. But in reality, sometimes it's the other way.
Especially if you're strong-willed like you and I.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay. So here's another piece for the framework. Seek good mentors and leaders that you can trust. Okay. People where you trust their judgment. Hopefully that your parents or your grandparents or people that are close to you, they might not be. Occasionally, you know, we end up learning more than our parents do because we sought out more. That mm-hmm. can happen sometimes. But hopefully you have looked for people that you feel like you can trust, that time and time again, you get the feeling that's true. That's true. It may be hard for me, but it's still true. Mm-hmm. And you can trust their judgment because maybe they're living proof even of what they tell you is true.
Yeah. And I would say that, I mean, our next thing that we want to share is that most true and good decisions align with principles and serve other people, not just yourself. It could serve you too, but a lot of times good things are things that help others around us and that we want to share with others too.
Yes.
That's why you get all these like life hacks on social media. People are like, look, I found this thing to make life easier. You should do it too.
That's true. People are always sharing a good thing for whatever reason, right? Yes. They're hoping and trying to help other people. Sometimes they're trying to get something out of other people. But anyway, there you go. Okay. So another thing is we have to know where our lane is. Okay. Stay in your lane. This is what we want to think. Here's the driving analogy. Okay. Only you will only be able to discern for your stewardships.
You only have a license to drive your car on your insurance.
Exactly. You do not get to discern for other people besides your children because you have a stewardship over them. But once they are their own independent adult, you can't discern for them anymore. You can offer advice and you can be prayerful and try to help. And sometimes you might get some inspiration or some revelation, you know, something you feel like you want to pass on to them, but they have to actually discern it and decide if they want to follow it or not. And so you have to keep that in mind because some people, if they get one answer for themselves, they try to tell everybody else that this is exactly what they have to do. And we have to remember that we all have our own stewardships. And sometimes that's really hard.
And because of that, we all have our own, we are all entitled to our own personal revelation on certain things as well. Just recently, mm-hmm. I was in a car ride with some friends of mine in one of my singing group. And one dear friend of mine, she started talking politics and I went, oh no. Anyway, and the person driving us, it was a carpool. She was not the same political belief as my dear friend. And she was being very kind, you know, saying, well, I believe that you believe that, you know. And then my friend was like, well, I received, you know, spiritual confirmation that this, that, and the other, and so-and-so should be in office. I'm like, oh, okay. Honey, let's be done. Everyone receives personal revelation for their own family. And it's okay. We don't have to share that because that is what you received. And it's okay.
Yeah. So now you know how to vote, but you can't tell everybody else how to vote. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And you can't think bad of somebody else if they think, okay, well, I feel like I should mm-hmm. vote like this. Now, not everybody does practice discernment. Not everybody does seek for their own inspiration or revelation. Not everybody prays and studies things out. Some people jump on bandwagons, go with trends, and take bad advice. This happens all the time. But even so, it's not your discernment to tell them, or it's not your stewardship to tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. So you have to just focus on continually discerning within your stewardship. If you're teaching a class and you know you're the leader, then you have a stewardship. If you're the parent, you have a stewardship. If you're mm-hmm. in a certain office with a certain position, you have a stewardship over certain things in that capacity. So wherever you have your stewardship, you can seek inspiration or revelation and you can actively use the discernment skills that you have. But if it's somebody else's job, then sometimes you just have to sit there and say, okay, that's where you're at. That doesn't mean you have to believe the same as everybody else, but sometimes you just have to be there and think that. Mm-hmm. Now, here's one key thing. I've mentioned it before in this podcast already, but I just want to make sure that this is understood. And that is that we cannot forget that what we already have learned that is true is going to stay true. Okay.
As long as it is actually true.
As long as it is actually true. Sometimes it's something we just want, so we think it's true.
Mm-hmm. Because truths never change and truths never bend. So if it is an eternal, lasting truth, it will never change.
Right, right. That's true. And so if you have learned something that is true, then everything else that you learn that's true should build on it. It should never go away from an existing truth that you already have. Mm-hmm. And that's probably one of the most important things that you can remember as you are discerning. I think there are some people who lately are going completely away from truth. They are just pushing everything from their past that they've learned was true aside and somehow adopting a whole new version of what they think is true, which again is their stewardship. They can decide that that's what they want to do, but it doesn't jive with me, because how could you turn your back on all of this other truth that you have known is true? You had a witness that it was true. You felt that it was true. And then suddenly, boom, it's like just not true anymore. Or now there's this other stuff that has gotten in the way and is taking a person in a new direction. That's mm-hmm. fascinating to me, because I know that I would be very careful about going in any direction that was contradictory to other things that I already knew was true. In fact, I would be more likely to push off that new direction and say, no, you know, I know how God heals and it's like this. And right. So I'm sticking to that, you know, or I know what the principles of good health are and I'm sticking to that, you know, whatever it happens to be. There are truths that we learn and that we base other truths on is basically what I'm saying. And so your truths should come together and add a piece to the puzzle instead mm-hmm. of disrupt the whole puzzle entirely and make you start completely over. If you feel like you have to start completely over, you might not be being honest with yourself about the truths that you've already learned in the past.
But it could also be the other way around. So, I mean, if you have ascribed to things that you thought were true, but then, you know, real truths are presented to you, then you have to take a look at your life and go, okay, which one is like actual eternal truth? Because I mean, I have met people who have, you know, changed their life completely because they found real eternal truths.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Very good point to bring up there, because sometimes there are things that are partial truths. They're selfish things that we think are true. They're just random traditions, you know, or whatever, or cultural norms or something like that. And so we think a cultural norm is a truth, but it might not actually be a truth. And then we suddenly learn a truth and it blows our mind. And we're like, whoa, now that I've learned a truth, I have to do something different. And that's the power of discerning when something is true and false. It changes our trajectory. It changes our life path and our course. It changes the way we interact with other people, the service, the actions that we take. It is powerful. So it is important that we take the skill, the practice of discernment seriously. And probably one of the biggest things that I could say is, since it's a spiritual thing, bring God into it. Mm-hmm. Ask him the questions, learn how he talks to you, and make sure that the things that you're learning or the things that he's telling you fit in with truths that you know also to be true in the past. Anyway, it has been so much fun talking about discernment today, Paige. I hope that people have gotten something from this that can help them as they are trying to determine not just what to eat for breakfast, which is very important, but also how to pursue actions with their children when their children need bonding and how to take action on that so that they are more inspired in all the things that they are doing in their family relationships and everything else in their lives. So this has been the Teaching Self-Government podcast. You can find more information on the principles and skills of self-government with all of the trainings and resources located at teachingselfgovernment.com.
You've been listening to the Teaching Self-Government podcast. For more information and resources to help unite your family, visit teachingselfgovernment.com.